picking on that red guitar. So gather round, now gather round, chillin' be down. Well, just get down, chillin', get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. Well, because South's gonna do it again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Tuesday, not Monday, but Tuesday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Get a little bonus time here. Our congressman, Jerry Carl, has joined us in studio. Always a pleasure to bring him on. Get him in a little early here. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Well, what did you make, since that's very topical right now, what did you make of the big crowds at the college football games you saw this weekend?
I think everybody's tired of being scared and tired of being locked up, and it's a good excuse. I mean, majority of Alabama football fans, I would say, would certainly risk that to go see the season opening game. So, of course, I sat at my house and watched it on TV with a group of friends, actually, so... But people are just tired. They're tired of being locked up. They're tired of being scared. You know, they're ready to move on with their lives.
Yeah, I think more people are going to see this and they're going to take their cues from that. These people that were telling us what to do to avoid this the pandemic, to flatten the curve, that, you know, they had their opportunity, and for better or for worse, it probably didn't work out the way they had hoped. You can only do this for so long. That you take these extreme measures, and it's not going to go on forever. People just—that's just not human nature.
Yeah, we got to where we don't trust the FDA and the information coming out of the FDA. And I just had a conversation with a company that's big into consulting health officials, and that's what they were telling me. The FDA and the ratings are just horrible, and the reason for that is I'm gonna blame Fauci. He just kept changing things instead of trying to explain that science does change. And I mean, common sense tells you that what you find out may change a little bit versus how you're going to interpret it tomorrow. He was just constantly pushing at us to do it one way and to change it. And, you know, we're dealing with the repercussions of that. So not trusting the FDA, it is scary. Now we're in a situation now that scares me, because I was talking to him about the booster shot, which I want to get the booster shot. I'm my whole family's vaccinated, and I encourage everybody to get vaccinated. I encourage choice, though. I'm a little reluctant right now on that, because our president's so fixated on a date. You know, he gets these fixations, just like coming out of Afghanistan,
right,
on a date, and everything's got to happen by that date. Science doesn't happen that way. You know, things don't happen. You put a date, your birthday, I understand, but you can't put a date on pulling out of a country and or announcing you've got a booster shot that's been quote unquote approved by the FDA. So it's a little bit hairy on that one for me, but I will wind up getting it.
Well, the distrust in our institutions is such a key point to this, to people, particularly in our neck of the woods. They just don't trust the government for, you know, whether it's political reasons or not. But the problem with Fauci, it always seemed to me that he, you know, the ends always justified the means, that he was the definitive expert on these things, allegedly, and it turned out to be wrong on some things. But it was this approach that, you know, that this pandemic, there were a lot of unknowns, but they acted like they knew what they didn't know at the time. And I think that's done more harm than good.
And it's okay to be wrong, as long as you admit it. You know, and people can respect that. You know, you're wrong, you move on. And I think that's where he's missed it. He's just been so defiant. He's right, the rest of the world's wrong. You misinterpreted what I said. That's not what I said. And, you know, when you take that, everyone gets defensive. I mean, they put up that defense wall, especially here in the South, you know, in Alabama. I mean, it's just like an elected official trying to tell his base who to vote for. They don't want to hear that. Now, they'll listen to your opinion, but they don't want to be told who to vote for.
Well, and I think this, though, that maybe he was well-intentioned through a lot of this. Maybe not. I don't know. But I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. And it's like you said, there wasn't any you know, any contrition, anything like that, to say, hey, it always had to be this approach, that we always had to be, this is what we need to do, and it's a one-size-fits-all approach. You can't, you know, this pandemic doesn't line itself up for a one-size-fits-all approach.
We can't keep living in fear. We've got to move on. We've got to move on. And I don't know an answer for that. I mean, I'm vaccinated. I try to be as careful as I can. Wash your hands. I mean, just hygiene that your parents taught you, it goes a long way. So, but anyway, we've got a lot of problems in this country right now.
Well, and it remains to be seen what happens next, I guess. My question is, before we go to break here, you have such distrust. Do you ever get past that distrust? What do you have to do to fix these institutions?
I don't know. I'm open for suggestions.
All right. Well, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back with Congressman Jerry Carl. This is the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
And there's always a stage and a beautiful babe to squeeze my life. In my simple way, guess you could say I'm living in the big time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Come up tomorrow to the program, Sean Ross from SR Communications, and several guests to be named later, as I have not endeavored past today. But we'll certainly let you know, twitter.com/Jeff_Moore, if you want to know who's coming up on the program on any given day, usually about an hour or so before the program begins. 251-343-0106. Still joining us in studio, very pleased to have Congressman Jerry Carl. Congressman, we were talking about COVID during the last break. Before we move on to Afghanistan, texter asked, do you still think Fauci-based, or do you think it's still possible that Fauci-based some of these COVID decisions on financial circumstances?
No doubt in my mind. And we've tried every way in the world to get a peek at that, and that's sealed up like so many things in Washington. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, that's the only thing that's made sense to me, to make these to say one thing one day and say something totally opposite the next week. It's got to be financial related. I'll believe that. I'll go to my grave believing that.
If that turns out to be true, I mean, that's a scandal. That's the kind of thing that people really will, raise up, and you know, that we were misled for somebody's financial gain. That's the kind of thing that you do lose. They will lose trust in our institutions.
Yep. And they should.
Let's go to Afghanistan. Well, let's not literally go to Afghanistan. Let's talk about Afghanistan. I don't know many people that I guess a few people want to go over there these days, but trying to help people get out of Afghanistan. I know you've been very very attuned to what's going on over there. A little bit about a briefing. 6 planes stuck over there right now, and there's a lot of finger pointing going on.
Yeah, we got a briefing this morning. The State Department is blaming Taliban. Taliban's blaming the State Department. Bottom line is they got 6 planes. They went through all the documentation needed through the U.S. government to get them out through the department. Afghans were okay with them clearing, leaving. They got ready to leave. The U.S. government says, we've got to do this in a little different way. We've got a different process. Majority of these are American Americans. These are passport-carrying Americans. So we understand the State Department shared that information with the Taliban to help document some of the facts on this stuff. The Taliban, they were told to get off the plane, reshow their paperwork. Taliban all of a sudden figured out, hey, we can make some money off this deal. So now everybody's been sent home. The planes are still on the ground. Taliban's trying to figure out, you know, what they consider to be a fair amount for landing and takeoff, which every airport has that.
Right.
But it'd be very curious what the figure Taliban comes up with. But so many of these people won't make it back. I mean, Taliban has their addresses. They have everything they need.
They know where to find them.
Yeah, and everybody says, well, the State Department says, well, have them call us. They don't. Phone calls are being linked over there. They're tracking those down, which is very old technology. So it's still a mess. It is still a mess. It will be a mess. I know we're all watching it. We all want the Americans back. We want our interpreters back. And I want all our equipment back.
Well, is there any reasonable expectation that we'll get some of that equipment back?
No.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking yesterday, you know, there's going to be a food shortage over there, and I just had this idea, and I threw it at my wife, but, you know, for every X amount of food, we get a tank back or something, and you know, start chipping away and swapping them food for tanks and just dropping tanks out in the water there somewhere, just guns. I mean, just anything we can get back, kind of dwindle that down. But we've asked the State Department for a list of the equipment. We did this in Armed Service Committee last week. We want a list of equipment itemized, and some of that stuff obviously is going to be some technical stuff that we can't share. And I know you appreciate that. We've asked for a list of people that we have over there because they're saying probably less than 100. We have. All the congressmen, including myself, I had six on the last day that we couldn't get out. So I refuse to believe it's just 100. It's more than that. You know, we've asked for all the we've tried to put an amendment in place where no money can be transferred directly or indirectly to the Taliban. So that's why they're calling this, quote unquote, a landing fee instead of this thing has just blown up for the Biden administration, and I am one's going to blame. Everybody says, well, you know, you need to get rid of all the leadership. That's not my job. Hey, the president's our job. It's his job to get rid of whoever he thinks did it right or wrong, because I'm blaming the president. The buck stops there. He overrid, so we've understood. He took a lot of advice and did not use that advice. So let the president be responsible for that.
Now, we've heard some people try to pin this on Trump, but do you see any way that Trump could be held accountable for what's going on over there?
Trump had a plan put together. We got briefed by Pompeius, the congressman did, and they had a plan. The plan was well laid out. The equipment was coming out. They weren't leaving equipment. But the last thing's going to come out were guns and boots, as they referred to it. That was the last thing to come out. So they had a plan all laid out to get everyone out in an organized manner, to get our equipment out in an organized manner, and I'm sure to leave a very bare minimum for the Afghan government, because everybody knows that what the Afghan government, you know, is just a source of income. You know, everybody says, well, the Chinese are going to take them over now. Well, good luck, Chinese. 20 years, you know, you're going to switch them over to somebody else, and whoever the next figure is going to come in there and take them over after that. So it's just not a good situation for us as a country. That's what scares me.
Well, and the China question is interesting. For them, there is a strategic motivation there. You know, they actually border, small border with China, but it's in the neighborhood. That, you know, you look at China, they're going to take, allegedly, it looks like they're going to take a shot at it. But should that concern us here?
Well, what concerns us here is right now the Biden administration is trying to shut down the largest copper mine we have in America. And that copper mine, the reason it's so important is if we're going to build chips and equipment, we need copper. The largest supplier of copper right now is China. We have identified huge amounts of copper in Afghanistan. We've known about that for quite a while, and that's what the Chinese are ultimately after. What's the key ingredient in batteries? Alkaline. Anyway, there's just vast amounts of this mineral.
Rare earth, yeah.
Yeah, rare earth stuff. They're in Afghanistan. That's what they're after. They could care less about the people and the government. They're after those minerals. So, and we've got the Biden administration shutting down drilling, mining. They're shutting down all that here in the States, and it's shifting it back overseas, which makes it very dangerous for us.
One of your colleagues on Fox News Sunday, Mike McCall, the ranking Republican on Intel, say that there's Americans being held hostage over there by the Taliban. Do you have any sense of that? What's going on there?
Well, yes, we have. Well, I got to be careful how I say this. We have people left there. We're trying to get out. We have a certain amount of equipment there. We would like to get out. We don't know where it's at. We know some of it's already, or we suspect. Some of us are already being transferred to Iran, and they'll do reverse engineering through China. So there's, you know, everybody says we'll go in there and blow it up. Well, okay, but how about the 200-plus people that are there? Is that not our main motivator for even being there today? I mean, if it wasn't for that, I mean, just back off and blow it up. But, you know, I just refuse to believe we don't have technology. You know, your car, for example. You know, your car, everything in your car is electronic. It's satellite link. Why can't they just fry the brains in the thing? I mean, the Taliban are not mechanically oriented people. They still live in the 17th century. They can fix, and I don't mean this sarcastically, but they can fix simple things like bicycles and motorcycles. But you get into something like electronics in a tank, they're lost. So why can't we fry the memories in some of those tanks and some of that equipment via satellite? I think, and I don't know this because I'm not privy to a lot of the intel, but I think it's because we still have people on the ground there. And we don't want to upset the Taliban. You know, they're our new best friends. So, and you know, trusting them's, you know, like trusting a two-headed snake. So,
but and we've heard Joe Biden speak a half dozen times, and you probably got briefings and all of this. Is there any is there any rational reason offered up as to why this was left behind and we left in such haste?
No. We have asked for that. We've asked for the plan that they quote-unquote used. I actually got to meet with one of the intel guys last week, and he said that virtually every ranked officer over there would have written a backup plan or a back-out plan. That's just part of their procedure. Every infantry, everyone over there that's in infantry, if I'm saying that word right today, they know how to blow that equipment up. They know, I mean, they've been taught how to drop grenades.
It's like you have an evacuation plan already put in place. For every country has one, and for sure they had it in Afghanistan. And for whatever reason, they just abandoned the protocols.
But I think what it boils down to is the president's mentality on dates. He focuses on dates. So he's going to be out by the 31st. To do that, he had to leave everything behind. As a risk he was willing to take, just so he can make that date. Just like the date on this new vaccine, it's got to be the 20th. So what did he lose? Three of his top FDA guys that just walked out, said no way. I'm not putting my name to it. So he's got this fixation on dates. I think it has a lot to do with him staring at that watch. You know, everybody says, now think about this just a second. You're talking about somebody with dementia. Time is a big thing, and they're constantly checking time. They're constantly focused on certain things, and we've got some real problems here with our president.
Well, it's interesting because, now, I don't know if you believe all these accounts and all these tell-alls of what was going on during the Trump administration, but at times the quote-unquote adults would just defy orders from the executive, from the president, and go do whatever they thought was the right thing to do. That doesn't seem to be the case at all with Biden. If what you're saying is true, that he is giving these definitive orders by a date certain, that no one is saying, they're all saying, yes, Mr. President, whereas under Trump, it was completely different. They went around him all the time.
But look at the Biden administration. I mean, they're all woke people. They're that's all they're focused on is woke. You think the Taliban wants to sit around and hold hands and discuss what their future is going to be? Man, we need meat eaters over there. I mean, I keep referring back to General Patton. I want to write a story so bad, I know it'll blow up on me. But what would General Patton say today if he was alive about not our military, but our leadership? And I think that just huge that I think these governments, I mean, look at China fooling with Taiwan right now, with, you know, doing the flyovers and just aggravating them a little bit, because they know this woke culture is going to want to better define how this is going to work. But the entire administration is, you know, how odd can they get people? How different can they get people? How can they mix this up? I mean, we're from the South, and a lot of this stuff, I don't want to get into, but it's some strange stuff according to our culture down here. The people, and they're hired for that reason.
Well, maybe there are some true believers, but my opinion on this woke culture stuff is always just a way to get power. It's always a way to win elections and get people engaged in politics. But then when you actually start believing this stuff, when you actually do get an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and people like that elected, it doesn't work. It falls flat on its face. Afghanistan is the example.
Don't believe for a second she believes it. I will never believe that. She rakes in more money probably than anybody in
Congress.
Well,
maybe she went into it.
It's all about money.
Maybe she went into it believing it, but maybe she's changed. But that's essentially it, right? That Nancy Pelosi runs on a hyper-progressive agenda, doesn't necessarily believe it. It's all about achieving power. But at some point, the electorate have been very left of center places that believe this stuff. They start to get rid of a Joe Crowley, and they bring in these ideologues or these figures they believe that are part of the ideology. That's who gets elected, and then that has an impact on policy.
Well, we're paying the impact for the 2020 election. I mean, if it would have been a little different in the Senate race, we wouldn't have a lot of these conversations. But obviously, they're controlling all three houses. And we're paying the price. So, you know, I don't, you know, we're hanging on as far as the Congress, House. We're 2022 is going to be our year. We're going to just clean their clock, and we're going to put anchors down on everything.
Well, do you worry about on the way out that they're going, you know, the $3.5 trillion spending package that on the way out, they know, they see the writing on the wall, that they're going to do everything they can on the way out?
Well, we're going to deal with that this month. We're going to deal with 3.5. We're going to deal with the 1.5 trillion. All that's going to get dumped on us here in about 3 weeks. So we'll deal with that there. We hope there's enough Democrats that will question it, that we can change the outcome of that vote. And it's you know, most people don't realize that the Democrats voting, for example, on the floor, they don't have to be there to vote. They're voting from home. A lot of them haven't been there since January the 6th. They went home on January 6th. They're not coming back. And that, in history, that has never happened. You know, we're past the COVID. We're not past COVID as a country, but in the House, things have loosened up. We're not as paranoid as we were. We need to be back. We need to be voting just so the numbers are correct, because Republicans are there. And, yes, I have taken one vote, you know, and I, Sonny Callahan's funeral, I did take one absentee vote there, but... But all in all, the Republicans are there and ready to vote. I think we will have enough Democrats that have dragged their heels and go, you know, it's going to be a tight race for me and for me to jump on 3.5. We will come up with something.
But it won't be that, you think?
I don't think it's going to be
real
much.
Quick, before we have to get out of here, go to break, the border. The
border's an absolute mess. We got notice today that they feel they're anticipating the numbers being even higher than last month. Last month they were 120,000 plus, so those numbers are going to be higher. That scared me worse than Afghanistan, I'll be quite honest, because what's crossing down there, anybody can cross down there. Anybody can. And it's all because of a wall. It's all because Trump wanted to build a wall, and the administration is going, no, stop it.
You know, do the exact opposite.
Just the exact opposite, and it that this kind of stuff that entire parties lose control of, and it's gotten away with them.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very kind to come in. And,
thank you. I enjoy it.
Yeah, Congressman Jerry Carr, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
We sing about sweet home in Dixieland delight. We tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery at night.